Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about WhatsApp, which is a strange topic to be picking up at this time of the year, to be honest, because there's not been any major announcement around any new feature or anything as such. But we've been meaning to talk about WhatsApp for a while. It's just that we haven't exactly found the time with the crazy news schedule that, you know, we are under constantly. But right now there is a brief lull in the world of technology. So we thought, okay, now is a good time to talk about something we haven't spoken about in a while. So what we want to talk about here is all the new features that have been launched in WhatsApp, among them what we like and what we don't like. And there are still quite a few features that we want on this app that pretty much everyone uses in India. So we have a list which we prepared of things that we like and things that we want from WhatsApp. So to read out that list and to say why we need this, we have our new person who's joined in our team, which is a senior reviewer, Ali Partiwala.
Hey Pranay, I'm happy to be on the podcast again today.
Yeah, and we also have a long-time guest on the podcast is Aditya Shenoy.
Hello.
He does reviews on our site and is also a host with me on this thing called Hop. You can go check that out on hop.live. Every day, 6:20 p.m. we have a show over there. And I'm your host Pranay Parab, here to comment on WhatsApp as an outsider because I don't use WhatsApp at all. So yeah, with that disclosure out of the way.
No, but let's have this conversation first things first, Pranay. Why don't you use WhatsApp?
So I'll put a link in the show notes. On gadgets360.com, I wrote an opinion piece about why I deleted WhatsApp. Mainly, the reason that I like to tell everyone is that, you know, everyone was on WhatsApp and my family was spamming me. But the real reason is that was getting too many random people pinging me and, like, you know, just disturbing me at all hours of the day saying, check this out, check this out. And also, I got added to a family group, which, you know, is another heaven for some propaganda.
Well, you do have the mute feature. You can block people on WhatsApp in case you didn't know that.
I left WhatsApp, 2.5 years ago now, I think. Mm-hmm. So at that time, many of these features that, you know, you kids have were not exactly present.
So now maybe, that it's here, will you be back on WhatsApp now?
No, now I'm happy, right? I mean, if I... the main reason why people don't leave Facebook or WhatsApp is that, okay, they know somebody who is connected with them only via WhatsApp or only via Facebook, right? So I left WhatsApp at a time when I didn't have any such person. And since then, the people I need to keep in touch with, I've moved them to other platforms. Like my parents, I am in touch with them via iMessage. Then you guys, I'm in touch with via Slack and Telegram, right? So yeah. I don't exactly need WhatsApp in my life. It's just that, you know, if you have some people who use WhatsApp only as their chat platform and you need them in your life and you need to be in touch with them, then yeah, sure, then there is no other option, right? But I don't think I am in that position, luckily. And I'm very, very privileged to be able to say that. I completely acknowledge it. It is not something that everyone can afford to do. But anyway, with that discussion out of the way, why don't we start with my wish list? Like, before I left WhatsApp, I had a couple of things on mind which still have not been added, which is just really strange. So the first one, the number one thing that I want in WhatsApp is, you know, please, yeah, WhatsApp, Android to iOS, iOS to Android transfer should be a simple thing by now. So now WhatsApp, what it does is it lets you back up your chats to Google Drive if you're on Android, iCloud if you're on iPhone. But if you want to move between these two platforms or any other platform such as that iOS on JioPhone, I don't think there is any option here. Yeah. So I really don't understand why they haven't enabled it. My understanding is that the backups to Google Drive and iCloud are not encrypted. So transferring them between one platform and the other should theoretically be quite easy. I mean, pretty much every other app does this.
I think WhatsApp uses a local storage account as well as a cloud account wherein, you know, you can back up to, say, a Google Drive only if you're on Android and an iCloud only if you're on iOS. That might be an issue there. If it has its own cloud storage wherein it can save encrypted data, I think it should be possible.
Yeah, so now that you've mentioned this, I think I may have to eat some of my words because I'm not entirely sure if, you know, Signal backs it up to a server or something. Mm-hmm. But I know this, like I recently, like someone I chat with on Signal moved from Android to iOS and one person moved from iOS to Android and both of them did not exactly lose old chats. Okay. But then it's also a small sample because it's not like we have 50 groups on Signal and a bunch of other apps that, you know, a bunch of other people that are there on Signal. So obviously things could change a bit when you have a large user base over there. But yeah, I do know this, that it wasn't like WhatsApp where you start with a clean slate, you know, and there's no other message or whatever. The few recent messages that we had exchanged were saved. So anyway, I mean, looking beyond Signal, I still think WhatsApp should implement that. Like you said, it does have a server thing, a server component and a local component. And I think they do end-to-end encryption for that, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really think they should enable some kind of a backup thing where, you know, you can import it from some other backup service.
So the issue there I see is the problem is that if WhatsApp were to backup all of those chats on the server, it would need large server farms to be able to do this.
Huge amount of servers.
And this is a method for WhatsApp to keep costs down. This is a method for WhatsApp to remain free and possible. And this is just one compromise, which is essentially storing chats locally or on your own Google Drive or iCloud account.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is they should maybe enable some way to import it on, you know, your device from a third-party account. Now see, on iOS, you have this app called Files from iOS 11. So that integrates all of your cloud services in one place. So I think there are certain APIs which allow you to show a file picker, and then you choose a file from any cloud service and it can be imported into an app.
See, because one other thing I can think of is what it can do is only during migration, it can lend you some server space wherein you can upload all your chats from one operating system onto their server and then download them back, after which they will be deleted. So that, and you know, all the other storage from that point on will happen locally on the device that you have. So if you are migrating from, say, Android to iOS, it'll basically download it onto their servers and then let you re-download it on your new operating system. That is iOS for this example. And then you can, you know, maybe get it on your iCloud account. So that way only for migration, if they use servers, that is one way where, you know, where they can provide this experience without additional costs.
I think that's a pretty good solution, and hopefully WhatsApp's listening to this podcast and is probably going to implement something like that in the near future.
Yeah, if I think they do it, Pranay will be back on WhatsApp.
don't be so sure about that. Anyway, so yeah, my like I wouldn't have a problem with this if WhatsApp was an independent company looking to keep costs down, etc. But now it's owned by Facebook, and you know, recently, I think maybe a year or so ago, they had this thing where WhatsApp can share some data with Facebook or something. They made people accept or opt out of that. So you know, now that they've implemented all of this, I think the keeping costs down bit isn't that big a deal. Honestly, the data they are getting from it and the ads that they are targeting to people on other platforms, thanks to this data as well, I think that's more than paying for WhatsApp in a way. And I don't think, you know, they should hide behind that, okay, costs will rise significantly or whatever nonsense excuse that is there. But I honestly think this is the number one feature that everyone has been asking for. And third-party apps have done this. I think one way it's already been done from, I think, iPhone to Android, if you want to migrate it, there is a paid app which lets you do this. But I don't know which app it is. I forgot the name. But somebody had said that, okay, it works perfectly, you know, among my friend circle.
Recently asked me, they wanted to, they just bought an Android phone and they wanted to move from iOS. And they asked me if there was a solution. And I kind of raised my hands up and said, I have no idea. But he went to the gray market and he found somebody willing to do it for him for 2,500 rupees. Wow. Now, I have no idea if the thing would actually work. Yeah. I do need to follow up with him. I'm going to do that soon and ask him if that trick really worked, and then maybe we can talk about it later.
Like, my only question to him would be, was your chats worth 2,500 bucks to get transferred in the first place?
Yeah, well, but if this person moved from Android to iPhone, then I'm about like 85% certain that they already paid like some 70, 80 grand to do that. Another 2,500 is not that big a deal. To be perfectly honest. Anyway, so moving on from this, is there any other feature that you guys really want, something which has not been implemented?
So another big feature, in my opinion, is that we need a better desktop app for WhatsApp. Now, the thing is, WhatsApp is primarily a smartphone chat app.
Yeah.
And it requires your smartphone, it requires your mobile number to be authenticated with the app in order to link it to your account per se. Now, what WhatsApp does offer is a desktop client, which is effectively screen mirroring your WhatsApp chats on your phone. But that does require your WhatsApp to remain connected on your phone. You need to have mobile data or be connected to the Wi-Fi. And you need to be receiving messages on your phone for the desktop client to mirror.
Yeah.
Now, what I feel would be great is if the desktop app worked completely as a standalone, and I could potentially switch my phone off and still be able to receive messages once I have authenticated the desktop app the first time.
Yeah, I mean, this is how the Telegram app works, right? I mean, yeah. it's an independent app. It's not a mirror of this thing. And also, like, again, I'll probably take an example of another app. How Signal does this is, they use your phone to say that, okay, you can scan a QR code on your computer and say that, okay, this is a linked device to my phone. Now, the linked device operates independently. Okay, and you can use your phone to erase it at any time. Say that, okay, you lost your laptop, you can erase it via your phone, and then Signal will stop working on that laptop forever. Now, this is a good way to do it, I think. You can, you know, link as many devices as you want, as many computers as you want to your phone, and then access your chats over there. That continues to work whether your phone is off, on, or in whatever state it is. But on WhatsApp, you know, the moment your phone so much as, like, drops connection, I think it stops working on the computer, right? So WhatsApp web sort of feels very hacky. I would definitely like it to be a standalone experience. Because especially if I'm like running a business on it, which many people do, I don't want to be tethered to a phone that, you know, is may or may not get network, or, you know, could probably be dead or whatever. Anything happens to my phone, I don't want my WhatsApp to go away. So in mission critical situations, I think, you know, being an independent app helps. I'm not sure why exactly they chose this approach, but it's somehow always been a problem. And this has been a problem for me from the day WhatsApp web launched. Yeah. Initially, you know, I think I tested it out on someone else's phone and I was like, okay, great, I really like this. This is something I've always wanted, but, you know, it needs my phone nearby. So that's something that I'm not a huge fan of. Okay, Aditya, anything on your wish list that you want to call out?
Well, I would say payments feature that was there in WhatsApp. Like, they had launched a beta thing, but because of some regulatory issues, they couldn't pretty much put it in action. So I would want it, but I wouldn't want WhatsApp to have, like, its own ID or something of that sort. Like, we already have a lot of UPI IDs already. So I would want it to be integrated with either, say, the Bheem app or the UPI app, or even Google Pay for that matter, so that it will be able to request money via the other service without you having to manually switch apps and request it for the said person, because WhatsApp already has the numbers and the phone numbers are linked to your Google Pay or UPI account. So that makes it easier to request or send money. I think it will be helpful for a lot of people as well. For a few tech challenge people who would struggle to otherwise do it, I think this will be really convenient for you know.
Now see, the plus point for this is that it will be a huge boost for UPI. Which is, I think, a good thing, because India has this, you know, payments thing. For those who don't know, basically it's a way to link your smartphone to your bank account and make payments easily. The old method, which is bank transfer and all, you have to add a beneficiary, put their IFSC code, and then wait for 30 minutes, yeah, or something. And then finally, even when you're making a payment, there is a limit of X amount that you can do initially. And then it has to be 48 hours before it can be higher.
And this can happen during banking hours or something of that sort. Like,
yeah. So, I mean, for UPI, it's like whether it's a Sunday, holiday or whatever, you can transfer money at any time. And it's much more convenient, faster, and it's protected by one more PIN code. So it's just like using an ATM card where you enter a 4-digit PIN and authorize transactions. So now the plus point is obviously that UPI will be adopted by more people. The downside is that WhatsApp is a company owned by Facebook. And anyone who's been following Facebook news knows that company has been under the scanner even in the US for some serious data invasive policies. How, like, third party companies basically use all the data that Facebook offers for targeting to create a profile of people and influence the US elections. And there have been some reports to say that it's done this elsewhere also. Massive dictatorships have used this as propaganda tools and all of that. So because of this, I would be very, like, wary of handing my financial information also to Facebook. That is something that I'm not entirely keen on. However, one thing I would like to say is that there is a company called Razorpay in India, which is a payment gateway. So what they've done is they've used, there is a thing called a Collect API on Android. Mm-hmm. So they use that Collect API to essentially create a payment flow on from any browser-based or any app-based solution where you say pay via UPI. It'll immediately open up the UPI app, which is used on your phone. And then over there, it'll pre-fill the amount. So, for example, you have to make a payment of, say, 150 rupees. It'll pre-fill that amount in your app. So, next time you open the, when you open the app, it'll see, you have to pay 150 rupees to so-and-so merchant or so-and-so person. So, just tap pay, enter your PIN code, and it'll then take you back to your original app as well. So, this is possible only on Android. On iOS, it can open the second app, but it can't take you back to the original app. Mm. That step you have to do manually. So what you said, the integration method, it is actually possible. It's quite easy to implement on Android particularly. I would like to see it happening, but if only it was not owned by Facebook, I would be supporting it wholeheartedly. Ali, you have anything to say about this or any other thing on your wish list?
So another thing on my wish list, I'd say, is fingerprint authentication, which I think is much needed at this point.
Or face unlock, for that matter.
Or face unlock, yeah. Sure. You can have fingerprint authentication provided it's built into your phone. A lot of Android custom overlays will have the option to lock certain apps with your fingerprint sensor or with a pin or even with your face in some cases. So while this is possible on some phones, why not make it possible on every phone that has the supported hardware, where WhatsApp builds fingerprint authentication or face unlock or even pin code directly into the phone itself, which makes your chats a little more private. Even to, like, for example, there are people who know my phone pin code and could get into it because it's pretty easy. It's not hard to guess for people that know me.
1, 2, 3, 4
No, not that easy, but it's not difficult, and people could get into my phone. But then what if I want to further protect my WhatsApp chat? And I could do that if there was some kind of fingerprint authentication system or a pin code on WhatsApp built in natively.
See, because this again is pretty much easily possible, because I think from Android Oreo onwards, there Android does has an API which will let apps ping the whole system asking if this fingerprint has been saved on the smartphone. And we've seen a lot of banking apps do it on Android phones, wherein, you know, what they would do is they would lock the app using the fingerprint, and only fingerprints that are saved on the phone can unlock the app. And they strongly recommend that you only save your fingerprints on the device. So this is pretty much easy to implement, and I don't think it should be a problem for WhatsApp to do that. Phones, I think Android Oreo and onwards, maybe even Nougat might have this support, but I'm not sure. But if you have apps in the market, in the Play Store, which can do app lock features, like they can lock down other apps using a fingerprint, then I think WhatsApp can do it for its own app.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's also quite easily possible on iOS. This thing has been there for years now on both platforms, where, you know, you can easily authenticate third-party apps via your fingerprint or face or whatever. I also would like to see WhatsApp implementing this. There are a bunch of people who have asked me, what is there on your WhatsApp that you want to protect it so much? Like, why are you so secretive and all of that? That is not the answer. The answer, I mean, is that, you know, if my phone is unlocked and I forget to lock it, why should someone see all my personal chats which are there on WhatsApp? I may be talking junk, but, you know, even the Supreme Court has said that, you know, people in India have a fundamental right to privacy. So why should anyone randomly just open it and, you know, see what's going on in there without my permission? So it's a very simple thing. The feature is also pretty simple to implement. I think there have been some rumors saying that WhatsApp is sort of working on this kind of a feature. If it happens, great, because I definitely know a lot of people who'd be really happy to have this thing. Okay, so now moving on. Ali, you have anything else on your wish list?
I think one last thing on my wish list would be, now this is a relatively minor thing because you can always go into the settings and change it the first time you set up WhatsApp on a new phone. But I'd like for the default settings to prevent auto saving of media. Now, when you first set up WhatsApp, unfortunately, everything is set with certain defaults and images get downloaded, videos get downloaded to your phone. I would like for WhatsApp to kind of deactivate that and make it possible for you to rather prevent...
Like, it should be an opt-in feature wherein it will ask you, do you want to do this, instead of setting it that way.
Exactly,
by default.
Exactly. But the problem with that is that a lot of people don't bother going into the settings, so they're kind of stuck with whatever the default settings are. These default settings should be changed to keep into consideration that not everybody has a lot of storage on their phones. Not everybody has a lot of mobile data or Wi-Fi available to them. So all of these settings should be made, like you said, opt-in.
No, because I think I have faced this issue on my aunt's phone when she would say that the phone has slowed down a little, only to find out hundreds of good morning messages in the gallery that's been auto-downloaded and had to get rid of them to work. So that is, I think it's a very good addition which WhatsApp should seriously consider.
Yeah, it's just a matter of changing the default setting, to be perfectly honest. And anyway, it's not like, you know, something that is sent to you is not saved. It is saved on WhatsApp inside the app, but it should not be saving to your phone's photo gallery as well. I will put one more use case here. A lot of people have this strange habit of sending not safe for work content via WhatsApp as well. Now, if it gets auto-downloaded to your photo gallery as well, you know, someone who's just randomly flipping through your photos will come across something inappropriate that you didn't even want to see in the first place. It was just sent to you on WhatsApp and you were just a casual victim of this. Well, you know, it's not a good scene to be in. I think earlier in 2018, we had one instance where I think in our colleague Gopal Sate, who does not work with NDTV Gadgets anymore, but he had done a story on Xiaomi's not safe for work ads. So there were like some ads which were bordering on porn content, which is showing up on Xiaomi phones. Now, one reader wrote to us saying that, you know, I got into serious trouble because of this. My parents are not believing that, you know, it wasn't done by me and that Xiaomi sent this ad. So they've confiscated my phone or something. So it was actually a pretty strange thing to see. So similarly, things like this can happen to anyone. So that default setting should be changed. Anyone who gets WhatsApp first should change the setting themselves. But I think it's great, you know, if WhatsApp does it on its own.
Yeah.
So Aditya, I think you had a couple of things on your wish list.
Yeah. So one of the features that I would want is a report spam feature. Now, what WhatsApp has already done is it has put a restriction on forwards and messages that you have been forwarded to you do see that it's been forwarded.
Yeah, the restriction only applies in India, I believe. Yeah. It's not outside of India yet.
Yeah. So for the forwarded messages, I would want like a report spam feature, because currently there is a report feature and it will mark the contact as a spammy contact and not otherwise. So I would want for these forwards to be marked as spam, because if you know that it's probably wrong or it's spam, you can mark it so that that will prevent any person or the original message from being forwarded multiple times. And that would be a good move in curbing the amount of issues that we have seen because of WhatsApp forwards.
Yeah, so you know what, this is 2019 is the year of now. Keeping that in mind, it's actually very, very important to have this kind of a feature which curbs misinformation, because if you give people the power to spread this misinformation, they will abuse it to the fullest. We've seen that before. There have been quite a few instances reported in the media with legit proof where it has been proved that somebody forwarded a fake message about a certain thing. I think the one case which, you know, shocked me a lot was that there was some message forwarded about some people who were kidnapping children or something.
I've seen people being thrashed for that.
Yeah, thrashed and lynched and killed for that by mobs who got like really angry, thinking that it was the truth, and any random people who had come to their village got killed. So this kind of thing can happen in India quite a few times, because we have to also understand that this is many people's first brush with the internet. WhatsApp and Facebook are the internet for them, and many people tend to believe everything that's sent on WhatsApp. Now, for those who, you know, were there when email first came to India, I think we'll all remember those messages which said that, okay, forward this Sai Baba message, no and good. If you don't forward it to 20 people, you will die or something.
Also, five the popular Nigerian prince scandal.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was a
what?
Big
I'm
deal.
Still waiting for my money, dude.
Yeah. Pay me 1 million, I'll give you 500 million. Anyway, so, you know, people who are having their first brush with the internet may not easily be able to tell what is fake news and what is actually the truth. So this kind of thing is really difficult to avoid, because WhatsApp is end-to-end encrypted. So it's not like WhatsApp can read all the messages that are being sent on its platform. So one thing it's done nicely is put that restriction on forward. So I think lots of people who want to spread information, whether it's truth or lies, are finding it a little difficult now to send it to a large number of people because of this forwarding restriction in India. So what they've done is they've tried to use VPNs or bot devices from abroad and like try to, you know, use them to their advantage. So that's one thing. But another thing, you know, as you said, the report spam feature. Yeah. I think how it can work is WhatsApp can have a group of moderators on a number with like access to that particular account, create sort of a central, bunch of moderators looking at all this content. So every time somebody reports it, right, that message gets forwarded to that particular number where the moderators are present. And then those people can look at these messages and decide, okay, is it real or not? And then maybe see if it can be blocked in some way or the other. Now, how you would block messages which are end-to-end encrypted, that is something that I have no idea about. Like, I'm not technologically savvy enough to know that. Because my understanding is that if there is end-to-end encryption, all WhatsApp can see are a bunch of strings and hashes and whatever other random characters.
Alternatively, if enough people report it as spam, say they have a threshold mark that this particular message gets reported as spam by more than 1,000 or 2,000 people. That's that should be enough sign that it is spam.
Maybe, you know, like, I'm pretty sure they can't read exactly what's in the message.
Yeah, but they can block
maybe they can
message.
See that, okay, this message is being forwarded and all that. So, if enough people report it, then there should be like a warning sign on top of it saying it's been reported as spam by a bunch of people and the message should appear grayed out or something. That can be done. But then again, you know, what's stopping people from copying it and pasting it and like sending it across? So the next trick would be this, right? People will say, don't forward this, copy paste it and send it as a new message to everyone in your contacts. So, you know, it's actually a cat and mouse game, which I don't envy WhatsApp, to be perfectly honest. Facebook has a really hard task when it comes to moderating this kind of content. And I'm sure they have thought of more advanced ideas than what we have. But simply, you know, every time this kind of a thing happens, we've seen that there have been many internet shutdowns in India, which is, again, very, very worrying to see. Every time there is any kind of unrest in any locality, the first thing that happens is mobile internet is shut down. So, because of this, a lot of people have faced a lot of inconvenience. I know people who have put in two-factor authentication on their Gmail account and set it to receive OTPs via SMS. But then, you know, mobile data, mobile networks have been shut down and then people have not been able to log in to their Gmail for work or whatever. So, yeah, this kind of a thing, I guess it's not unique to India, but it's highly prevalent in India. I'm not exactly sure what WhatsApp can do here.
So another thing that WhatsApp has been doing on their part is a massive ad campaign, which I'm sure anybody who listens to the radio has probably heard a bunch of times. It goes something like, khushiya phailao, afwao nahi. Now, that is a good move on WhatsApp's part, for sure, because they are trying to spread the word that, you know what, stop, think whether the message that you just received sounds true or not. Don't believe everything that is said on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
So WhatsApp is doing its part, but yeah, like we've been saying, it's not enough, and that report spam feature could go a long way.
Tell you what, Ali, like what you said just gave me a very wacky idea about one thing WhatsApp can do. So these ads, right? What's stopping WhatsApp from sending them to every single person who's using WhatsApp in India? Like, you know, the ad which is saying that don't spread misinformation, just send it to everyone and, you know, say that this is coming from WhatsApp admin or something, or India Ahead or something like that. And just like send it to everyone. Everyone can watch it and they can share it in groups and whatever. I don't know, like if I was the owner of WhatsApp, I'm not even sure how the technology is implemented. I'm not sure if they can broadcast to every user of WhatsApp. But if there is a possibility, then I think
they
it
can
should be
do
done.
That probably.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want that showing up in my media library. So
that too, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything else you guys want to highlight?
No, I think we've pretty much covered all the points.
There is one other big thing, which is pretty much, you know, what we like of the stuff that has been recent features that have been released. Now, we've already spoken about the restrictions on forwarding and the forward label. Another big deal is stickers, which is something that we've seen on Telegram for a while now. We use it ourselves quite a lot, to the point where we sometimes don't send messages, we send stickers instead, just to make a point. Now, they are on WhatsApp, but WhatsApp stickers aren't quite as user-friendly, I'd say, as Telegram stickers, and they don't seem to be getting used much.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the process on how to make WhatsApp stickers. It's actually a quite simple process. There is a tutorial on gadgets360.com as well. I'll put a link in the show notes. But what I would say is that WhatsApp stickers, I think, unlike Telegram stickers, they are sort of governed by a bunch of rules. So only like, you know, stuff that sort of is approved by Facebook's moderation team gets, you know, shown up there. Now, I have never liked the stickers on Facebook Messenger much because, you know, it's only a certain kind of stickers, like cute looking things or officially licensed stickers from certain companies, such as, what is that? Minions, right? That Minions and that kitty thing, Pusheen or whatever it is called. So these things show up. They are nice and all, but it doesn't have the variety that Telegram stickers have. Now, Telegram stickers, we've seen, you know, any random thing that you can think of, such as if you're a huge fan of that Yakuza game series, there are a bunch of Yakuza stickers. So if you're a huge fan of certain political leaders, there are stickers of those political leaders as well, like them doing a high five and like showing a victory sign or whatever else. So the Telegram sticker community is definitely uncensored, which is a problem because, you know, a lot of stickers are very inappropriate. But the good ones are actually quite creative and also very appropriate as well. So, yeah, I don't find myself using stickers on any other platform as much as I do on Telegram. That's something that, you know, everyone should sort of keep in mind. Anything else you liked?
So WhatsApp's one of WhatsApp's biggest pros has been that it's available on many platforms. It's not just on Android and iOS. WhatsApp has pretty much made it its mission to be available on as many devices as possible based on what platforms are popular among users. So, I mean, you'll see WhatsApp even on somewhat less used platforms such as Windows Phone or even certain versions of Symbian. Now, unfortunately, WhatsApp does also reduce support for certain platforms when it realizes that not a lot of people are using it, which may not affect a large number of people, but it also kind of keeps the operation lean and allows WhatsApp to divert its focus onto the platforms that matter. Now, there's no risk of WhatsApp leaving Android and iOS anytime soon because of the sheer numbers of people on it. But there's an other platform that also has sheer numbers on it, and that is the KaiOS platform that is used by the JioPhone.
Yeah.
Now, what WhatsApp has done, and is a much needed move in my opinion, is that it has introduced an app for the JioPhone. If you're on the JioPhone today, you can use WhatsApp, which is a huge deal given that the JioPhone costs 1,500 rupees and is a huge, huge success in India.
Yeah, just to like take it off topic slightly, you know what else works on JioPhone? Telegram works on JioPhone because there is a browser and you can go to web.telegram.org and log into your account and start messaging. Aditya was reviewing the JioPhone and he has actually done that. So, you know, that's...
No, that sounds good, but it's a horrible experience.
Yeah.
I don't know how many JioPhone users even know that such a thing as Telegram exists.
If you know it, like, it's a horrible experience, right? Because there are no notifications, there's nothing. Like, having a proper app is obviously much more useful. But yeah, it's great to see that WhatsApp is there on JioPhone for sure. That was something that was added in 2018 and we had done a podcast on it when it released. We'd reported that it works quite well. Yeah, the YouTube app initially had some issues, but WhatsApp works as expected. Aditya, anything else you liked from the recent features? Or, you know, I think we are ready to wrap up then.
Well, I think media visibility was only one thing that I found cool. Picture-in-picture is also like okay, but I wouldn't want it to have like a video screen hovering on top of the text that I would want to read. Like if I've clicked the video image, well, I intend to watch the video. So picture in picture is something like, it's good if people want to multitask, but I would prefer the full screen experience instead.
Another feature that I actually forgot to talk about is the ability to re-download media after you've deleted it. Like there are many times somebody sent me something and I'm cleaning my WhatsApp gallery out and I delete it. And then I suddenly realized, okay, maybe that was a wedding invitation and I don't know where I'm supposed to go anymore. So I can always go back into the chat and kind of re-download that, which is a great feature that they've added. Now, there are restrictions on this. I mean, you're not going to be able to perpetually download those things again. I don't know exactly what that time frame is, but it's liberal enough to give you enough of a chance to come back and download media again that you may have accidentally deleted.
That actually makes me think, where is that media saved that you can go and re-download it? Maybe they have server space.
That's exactly what I'm saying, right? If this is possible, then it should allow you to like migrate your chats to iOS and Android respectively, right? Just do it like this, okay? If you're migrating, you have to finish migration within 6 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, put, or maybe 24 hours. Within 24 hours, if you don't migrate, you'll either go back to the original phone or it'll be whatever is there on your new phone. Enjoy that. Everything else has been deleted or something like that. Anyway, I think that's all we have for this episode of Orbital, and we'll see you with one more episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, send us an email at podcast@gadgets360.com. Once again, if you use any of these apps to listen to podcasts, such as Apple Podcasts on your iPhone and Google Podcasts on your Android phone, please review the show, please rate us, please subscribe to it. These things, they really help us a lot. You will not believe how happy we are to have more subscribers. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back with one more episode next week.